Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
6:45, quarter till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWR, rolling convoys south on the causeway. Due to the fog, one lane open north, going at 35 miles an hour Thursday morning. That means we talked to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I am doing great. I crossed that causeway yesterday going to Gallier Hall for a pest control meeting, and we had the convoy across it. You know, and it, when you got out in the middle there, it was quite foggy, but we made it. Everybody, you know, did what they needed to do, and we got across there safe and sound. But now is the time when you see that fog, and then out here in the, as we call it, in the Flatwoods, you got to be very careful on these highways. You'll hit that fog.
Do what you need to do and do what you're supposed to do while you're driving and pay attention. I'm not trying to preach. I'm just trying to use common sense stuff here and put the phone down, right? I know car.
That put the phone down, both hands on the steering wheel, pay attention who's in front, who's in back. Go slow. I mean, 27 miles an hour. That's what they set it on yesterday. And you can get across, but I can tell you, I've had it clear as the bell on both ends of the causeway and get out in the middle. And you can't see the hood of the truck. You know, I've been there before. And that's when that convoy and everybody slows down. You got to be very, very, very careful. Again, but we've seen some major accidents on the highways in the last few days, especially at night. And even when the weather's not bad, people need to slow it down. Slow it down. Because on the interstates, I've seen people traveling at extremely excessive speeds. You know, and they've got to be running 90 or 100 miles an hour out there. And on an average day, I'll see 2 to 3 accidents per day, you know, in my travels. And people, we just got to slow it down.
And even if you're doing the speed limit, if you're on the phone, I mean, what we're asking you to do, just think about it for a second, is just pay attention and drive the vehicle and stay off of the computer. And I hate calling it a phone because it's not, people are not talking on the phone. Yeah. Basically, they're typing on the computer while they're trying to drive a vehicle. That's what they're doing.
That's right.
Don't do it.
And law enforcement can tell, because what you'll see is that the vehicle accelerate and decelerate. And you'll see it doing that rocking, and then you'll see the driver with their head tilted down. Because one of the other things people are doing, they put that phone or computer, whatever you want to call it, below the eye level where you can't see it through the glass, so it's down low. So they got to look down, and then when they look up, well, guess what? It's too late.
Yep,
they're already in trouble.
Having to look down, and the law was for the right reason. Let's talk about. I saw a story yesterday about Plaquemines Parish and citrus. As we talk about after effects of the snow, and let's talk about that and other crops, Mike, and things that were affected by last week's weather.
So we're getting the reports come in from the Ag Center. And by and large, because of the snow, I think we got off pretty darn lucky. We're going to lose some fruit, you know, and the thing about, but we're not going to lose the trees. That's the important part, you know, with our citrus farms, you know, the trees. And I think we're going to be just fine. We got reports coming out today that from the LSU Ag Center, several reports about strawberries. A lot of the farmers lost a lot of the current crop on the plant, but not the plant. So the berries and the blooms that were on the vines, those were lost. However, that's about a 2-week delay in, you know, in the harvesting of the crop of the strawberries. So that is good. And then on crawfish, again, about a 7 to 10 day delay in their growth, but they're coming. And so by and large, I think we did very well. We're going to have some isolated incidents where, for particular reasons, you have loss, you know, of the whole crop and loss of the plants. But I think we're fortunate because, again, the snow helped protect it, even though we did have some record cold. Now, in some areas, it did get down to 9 degrees. And now, in that particular case, you could lose, you know, lose the plant itself. And so here on the North Shore, with some other areas, we may have lost some of those citrus plants. But, you know, in Plaquemines, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll know better in a couple of weeks when if they start greening up. But hopefully we haven't lost many of the trees themselves. And the thing about a citrus plant, if the plant dies, but you can't just cut it off to the ground and get regrowth, because the plant in the ground is not the plant. Because remember, those are grafted trees. So that budstock does not make good citrus fruit. You know, that's budstock. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, all citrus trees are grafted. And that's why we have these superior citrus plants.
Mike, let me take a break for traffic, and when we come back, I want to talk about egg prices, because we started the morning talking about that. We can talk about more, if you will, about bird flu, also about record high prices for beef and what's going on with that, and grocery prices in general, because I don't see anything coming down, really. Maybe the increase might be halted, but I don't know how the prices that we see in the store are ever going to come down. Maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me when we come back. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. Mike Strain's our guest, 6:55. He's the Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, we were talking earlier with a supply chain expert about avian flu, and I think 147 million hens have had to be destroyed because of it. The problem that requiring the hens to be free range, plays in the spread of avian flu. How concerned are you about this nationwide, not just with eggs, but poultry and price of groceries, et cetera? Talk about that first, then we'll talk about the price of beef and the price of groceries in general.
So in the last 4 months, we've had a significant loss in hens. We've lost about 8% of all U.S. egg layers in the last 4 months. Now, that's significant no matter how you look at it. And so the predominant issue is avian influenza, high-path avian influenza. As you know, it is in multiple species. And so what happens to the high path, we had the outbreak in the cattle in February that started off in three herds that were in the Texas Panhandle, right in that area. And now it's in more than 900 herds in 19 states and markedly affecting milk production. But then there was a connection between the dairy herds getting infected and subsequent local flocks of birds getting infected. And so what you see, and these record prices for eggs, you know, the in around, you know, $7 in this region, you know, if you look at, you know, small eggs, you know, the medium eggs, you know, like $6, extra large over $7. And then you add another $1, $1.50 on top of that to California eggs. And 60% of all the losses from the bird flu in hens has been in cage free. So what happens in the cage-free scenario and how these hens can get affected, one is that you'll have a sick bird, a sick duck or sick goose, land in the field with these free-range chickens and contaminate the fields, and then it comes in and it literally wipes out the whole house. The death loss is extraordinary, and it's very, very rapid. One thing that we do know, that if it gets into a flock of birds, and when you're talking about, you know, these houses that have 30,000 birds in them, if it gets in there, if we don't contain it in that, then a few days, that virus can move 8 to 10 miles in the air just from the ventilation fans of that farm to the next farm. But normally what we see within 48, maybe 72 hours, all the birds will die in that. And so, you know, normally once they start dying, then we go ahead and terminate the rest of them to control the disease. But then the big push is trying to keep her get from that farm to the next farm. This is so highly infectious. And you saw just recently now farms in Georgia that have become infected. And these are, you know, our poultry farms. We have not had it in a commercial poultry farm in Louisiana. Biosecurity is the key. But what can happen is that, you know, these infected ducks or infected geese, they can infect these poultry houses. But the other way is by, you know, just contamination of people, you know, clothing, truck tires. It's just an extraordinarily infectious disease. You think about that ducks or geese can land in a pond, you know, on the farm. When they take off, they shed the virus. The virus gets and goes through the cooling fans because you have to keep those running and infects the entire house. It's just so highly infectious. Now, what we've seen in the other species with the dairy, we think there was a single point mutation in the virus in the Texas panhandle, and it got into these dairy farms. And it's spread predominantly by the milk. But the other thing with this virus, it's a tricky one. The cattle will shed the virus in the milk for weeks, maybe even a month, before they become sick. And so that's another scenario we are dealing with. So the price of eggs, it will take some considerable period of time to try to build that back up. I think you will see eggs get back up once we reestablish the total number of chickens. Now, there are inflationary pressures, but the good news is, for the egg front, is that the price of grain has not risen. Corn and beans has not risen. Now, on the beef cattle, it hit record numbers this week simply because the beef cattle inventories are so low. We have less cows on the farm and less beef going into the feedlots. But that's a long discussion. Inflation has really hurt the beef farmer.
We'll talk about that next time, Mike.